Hi, this is Dawn Shireen, and this is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. And, guys, I apologize. Time is fluid, right? So they say, I apologize. I haven't realized that it's been, almost 2 weeks since I caught you guys up on it. And last I talked to you guys, I was, actually, I don't know. So let's just do a recap. Okay, so I'm thinking last time I talked to you guys, I was facing eviction or had just gotten served eviction papers or official eviction papers. And I think I was scrambling to figure out what I was going to do. And I don't remember for sure because I'm not going to go back and listen to the show just so I can try to catch up to what happened when I can just basically tell you what happened. So I'm pretty sure I left you thinking, well, I was being evicted. I officially got served eviction papers, and and due to the fact that the electric, which I've been talking about for forever and all that, which it's still not resolved. But anyway, so I got served eviction papers, and I asked for help, right? Which is what I tell you all to do. A lot. If it's possible to ask for help and to have somebody who has more information than you handle the situations that you may not be fully capable of doing, go ahead and get help. So, I got served the eviction papers. Gosh, I don't even know. And I was like I said, this month is just kind of loopy. And I called legal aid. I had, as you all know, I had already been calling private lawyers around regarding the electric issue and everything. And although everybody says I had a case and all this and all that, nobody wanted to take the case because, first of all, I'm poor. So, paying a retainer for a lawyer to build a case like that, which could take, I don't know how long, but it could take a while, having to wait for stuff from the electric company and then, the regulatory board and the this and the that and the blah, 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 blah. So, right, so I remember I told you guys I went to go see this Nick Patton dude, and then the moratorium came back into play, right? And so I'm thinking that they have to re-give me a five-day quit and all that because the process legitimately stopped back to the moratorium. But no, I got served by the constable, and and it's funny because I knew the constable from here, from being in the office and having worked in the office here for a while and him having served other people. And he was actually in disbelief that they were trying to evict me. And now I'm not saying that I didn't owe rent, which I may or may not have, but I am saying that this exorbitant electric bill, I wasn't going to pay it. Okay. And I was more than willing to, and in fact, I bought two tents, and I bought one really super duper huge tent, looks like a trampoline, and then I bought a little tent, but either way, I got tents, and I had scouted out places where, we could go and live in our tent, and, and have freedom. And it's kind of funny, because when I got served the eviction papers, I felt this sense of relief, which was probably a little bit cuckoo, right? Because you should never feel relief knowing that one of the two possibilities is that you could wind up homeless, okay? However, I did feel a sense of relief, and then I didn't. So I kept this really super quiet as far as I go, right? I've been changing. I'm not going to say I haven't been changing, and I'm keeping my stuff closer to my chest, and I'm not talking to anybody in the neighborhood because there's nobody here that's worth my time, legitimately. And, I had changed my phone number, and I got a new mailing address so that they can't, stalk my mail anymore and figure out what I'm up to. Anyway, last Tuesday, it's been a minute since I talked to you guys. Last Tuesday, I had court, and this was after scrambling, hiring legal aid and then scrambling to find paperwork, which I found enough paperwork to actually usurp the paperwork that the office had, which is crazy because you would think that they would have a more recent lease than I have, considering all the stuff that I've been through and you know, and how at that point in time when I was like super duper losing my mind that like I was probably throwing paperwork away that I needed, when I was had all that stomach issues and I was just getting sick everywhere, the amount of stuff that got thrown away because of that is I don't even know. All I do know is that I actually did gather enough paperwork to build a case and somehow. And in the meanwhile, I also rented a storage unit because having been homeless here in Arizona, this would have been my fourth time had this actually gone down the way that it looked like it was going to. I was just tired of losing my shit, you know, and I've actually, and it was hard to believe, I've lived in this house 4 years. Today? Maybe. Something like that. Wow. Maybe this is the 4-year anniversary of when I moved in here. Huh. So I rented a storage unit and started moving my stuff in. And I didn't think that I was being very quiet or very demure about it. But apparently nobody knew I was being evicted, which is good for me. So I went to court last Tuesday and there was a program that my lawyer knew about, which wasn't really COVID related, but it was eviction related. And I fell into this program, you know, besides the fact that I'm a veteran and all this, something would have happened and I may have wound up homeless for a little while, but I would have been picked back up. But either way, so my lawyer found a program that, I fell into and presented it to the owner of the park in court, who didn't accept it in court. And I'm thinking, oh my God. So then she went to file for a dismissal of the case because the way they filed it was all wrong. The paperwork was all wrong. It was legally just wrong. And I knew this from the get-go. So I knew that I had an out, but I also knew that just because I had an out for this month didn't mean that they weren't going to hit me with another eviction the next month and the next month and the next month until they eventually got the paperwork straight and everything was right and then I would have wound up homeless. So the owner did not take the offer that day. And in the back of my head, I'm still thinking, okay, well, the case has been continued until October. So I still have this amount of time and I'm not paying anything. So I went full hog, gonna live off the grid and got like solar panels and all kinds of stuff to prepare myself for living in a tent off the grid with my dog and as many cats as I could possibly corral to come with me. And so we left court that day and I was still like, okay, I'm good until October, but this is just going to linger and linger and linger. And my lawyer assured me that she would get the owner to accept the deal. And I feel like calling it a plea deal, even though it wasn't on a criminal case, it's definitely a civil case. But either way, he accepted it. And a couple days later, and you know, and I was sweating it, but I wasn't sweating it because it was like I had time. And in the meanwhile, this whole time, like I had thought, you know, I had gone on Craigslist to try to find a place to live and all this. And boy, is that full of scammy people. Be careful on Craigslist if you're looking for a place to live, because I can almost promise you that 9 out of 10 housing deals on Craigslist are scam. And I'm just really lucky that I didn't need it, that that everything worked out to my advantage, the manager and also the owner of the trailer park's advantage. Neither of us lost on this, okay? And I don't really have any malice towards the owner of the trailer park. I have quite a bit of malice towards the manager, and that's going to be my own thing. I'm going to have to figure out how to deal with that, and because I don't want to deal with him whatsoever. I feel as if he set me up to, this power, the electric thing is a problem. I'm just going to leave it at that. And the fact that they don't take it seriously is a problem. And, I'm just going to wait. I'm biding my time as usual. but I'm gonna be watching my power this winter like nobody's business. I'm gonna mark down every time I turn a switch on, every time anything happens. And I'm going to start reading my own meter, and I'm going to become best friends with our electric commune or whatever is in Apache. And I'm going to become best friends with them so I know what the billing rate is. So when they decide they want to evict me again in, say, like, April, I will have all the paperwork I need. And, you know, now that I have the storage unit, which I'm not going to give up because I'm not going to move all my crap back in here just to have them freaking hit me up again and be like, oh, you got to go. For what reason? Because we say you're a drug dealer, which is what the manager of the park was telling everybody, was that I was a drug dealer and that was why they were evicting me, which is probably why he didn't show up in court because, yeah. Anyway, as far as I know, I'm not evicted. I spoke to the lady running the program, it's a program because so many people are going to be facing eviction now because of the moratorium and COVID. And the thing is that I was actually paying my rent. I didn't dog them for like 16 months, of which I know there are people in this trailer park that did dog them for 16 months. And yet they are still living here without a problem. And nothing against them, and that's where I have a problem with the manager, and I'm not going to get into this because it's going to get all stupid, but needless to say, he favors people. I'm just going to leave it at that. He favors people. He pretended like he was my friend for a really long time, and obviously was building a book on me, and decided to lie to get me out of here. And I don't know why, and it doesn't really matter because now I have a lawyer and a judge and all these people that are aware of what is going on in this trailer park and the fact that there are major, major, major issues happening here. And I don't really necessarily feel vindicated because the power thing is still a problem, but I feel somewhat vindicated because now he has to face the fact that he told everybody that I was a drug dealer and that he was going to get me evicted out of the park because of that. And I'm still here. Hello. Because I'm not a drug dealer, number one. I don't sell drugs. I don't even really do drugs anymore. When I can afford it, I'll buy weed. But other than that, I'm not in the game anymore. I'm out of it. And even when I was in the game selling my drugs, it was never part of the plan. I got the drugs to do the drugs, not to sell the drugs. So let's just get that straight. So I'm not evicted. As of right now, anyway. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get the program. And I haven't heard back from the lady. Today's Friday. So I'm thinking we're golden. We got it. We made it. We made it out of this. And what have I learned? I've learned a lot. Okay. I have learned a lot. And this has, like, probably little to nothing to do with being bipolar, but it might have a lot to do with it, but I'm not sure. See, that's like, right? Does that make any sense? It makes no sense. Anyway, but I have learned that you got to fight for yourself. No one's going to advocate for you harder than you're going to advocate for yourself. And within the process of just trying to find a lawyer, that was just like advocating for myself harder than I've ever done in my life, was just trying to get a lawyer to represent me because I knew once I had representation. Well, first of all, it took a lot of the responsibility off of me, and it took a lot of the stress off of me because I handed it off to a lawyer, right? That was one of the, and then I wound up getting a free lawyer anyway, which is what I just should have done to begin with, just call legal aid. But anyway, no one is going to advocate for you harder than you are going to advocate for yourself. Just remember that. You will fight harder for your own life than anybody will ever fight for you. It's just what it is. It's just how it is. Survival of the fittest and all that stuff. You will always fight for yourself harder than anybody else will ever fight for you. Because it's you. You're fighting for yourself. Secondly, I have learned that never take anything for granted. Never. I may not love this trailer. I may not love this trailer park. I may not love my neighbors. I do love the life I've created here with my pets and my aura and all the stuff that goes into building a home. And though I've never really felt like this was exactly a home to me because of all the trouble when I moved in here and all that. And this has been nothing but trouble since I've moved into Running Bear. This has been nothing but a nightmare. But nonetheless, it's my nightmare. And I'm going to maintain it as long as I possibly can. And when I move out, it's going to be on my own free will. It's not going to be due to being locked out by a sheriff or a constable. So don't ever, ever take anything for granted, because it can be wiped out. I didn't realize the gravity of this until actually the day after the court hearing, when I realized that I had a continuance but still wasn't sure if I was going to be evicted or not, and trying to figure out what I was going to do with all the babies. You know, none of it was easy, right? I mean, I still got Peanuts ESA done because I was going to have them taken away from me. But nonetheless, living with a dog in a tent over winter in the mountains of Arizona, where it does get cold and it does snow and it is no fun, it would have been horrible. All the cats that, you know, I got Pie Pie and Gotta Go, really nice cat carrier. But what about all the other kitty kitties that I feed? What about their family? What about all their cousins and stuff like that, that have come to depend on me to feed them? And that's a dangerous thing too, right? The gravity of it all didn't hit me until the day after, when I was like, what if I don't win this? What is going to happen to them? What am I going to do? Like, I'm going to go set up my tent someplace in the forest and come back on a daily basis. And I knew that they were going to throw a restraining order on me if they evicted me from here. So I was like, how am I going to feed them? What am I going to do? I'm so grateful it didn't come to that. So that was like, you know, don't ever take anything for granted. Show appreciation for everything that you have. Even though you may not seem like you have much. I mean, this trailer needs work. I'm not gonna lie. This thing could be condemned in a half a heartbeat. Is it still better than being homeless? Yes, absolutely. And did I learn a valuable lesson through this? I really did. I learned, number one, okay, there's a lot of things I learned. First, I learned don't ever trust management, because they will do anything they can to throw you under the bus. Number two, don't trust your neighbors, because look at number one. Number three, trust yourself and do everything you can to save your own life. And number four, be humble. Don't be a jackass. You know, I could be like several other people in this neighborhood, and the fact that I actually won, I hate to say it, I didn't win anything, but the fact that I'm not being evicted, I could be a total jackass and be like gloating everywhere in this neighborhood and like downing the owner and like dissing everything. And I'm not going to do it, because, that shit comes back to you. And throughout the whole process, I try to stay as positive as possible. And I tried to keep the negativity about management and ownership of this park to a low roar. Although there were times when I did have to say something, because I honestly felt like my life was in danger due to the manager here and his lies against me. And I'm still not so sure that he's not a threat to me. So I just want to put it out here. I'm not suicidal. I'm not homicidal. I'm actually feeling really, really good about my life right now. I'm feeling very hopeful. I have a lot of ideas planned. There's a lot of stuff going on. I have a lot of offers on the table that I haven't even really looked at, because I just wasn't sure what was going on. And trying to set up anything to do with the franchise and the branding and then being homeless, it just wasn't going to work. It just wasn't going to work. I mean, I did the best I could. I actually did a lot of stuff during this period of time when I was thinking that, you know, I'm going to be homeless. And, I just gotta say, you know what? I'm so grateful. I really am. I am so grateful that this didn't go as badly as it could have gone. I'm grateful that I am honest, and I'm grateful that I had integrity, and I am grateful that I could hold my word, and I am grateful that God saw fit to let me keep my family together here. My four-leggeds, okay, but they're my family. And That's kind of what I got to say about that right now, because I don't want to get into too much, and I don't want to diss anybody. Like I said, I'm still not in love with Running Bear. I will probably never be in love with Running Bear. I'm in love with my family here, and I am in love with what we have created here at the Stargate. And if I could have physically picked up the whole Stargate and moved it someplace else, I would be just as happy with that. However, it is what it is. And the fact that I am not on the streets, and the fact that I am probably not going to be on the street, and the fact that I held my positivity, and the fact that I listened to God every step of the way, is what got me through this. And, you know, in this whole thing with God, this whole thing with God, I know it's really weird and all, and, a lot of you might think this is part of, that this is delusional thinking, and I'm actually not so sure that it's not delusional thinking, truthfully, but the fact that it got me to here, and that I didn't wind up inpatient, and that I didn't wind up in the emergency room, and that I didn't wind up in some crisis, and the fact that I'm not inpatient, and the fact that me and my family are all in our home, just validates to me that there is something bigger than me that is guiding my footsteps. And I'm going to call him God, okay? And you can call it whatever you want. You can call it spirit. You can call it toaster. You can call it tree. You can call it anything you want to. But it is definitely outside of myself. Or is it? That's where it gets confusing. No, I know it's outside of me. Yeah, I know it's like intuition and soul and spirit and all that. And it's just, I don't know how to explain it right without sounding totally cuckoo. But I'm just grateful that I listened and I followed every step. Like I was in kindergarten learning how to do my ABCs again. Like, and just intently learning and listening and doing exactly as I was told to do, you know, getting the storage unit, calling the lawyer, finding the paperwork that was needed, which, man, not panicking, not kooking, keeping my mouth shut, not being an ass, and just being very, very humble throughout this whole process, because I know the gravity of this. I've been homeless on this mountain before, and, I don't know that if I would have become homeless this time that I would have made my way out of it. I really, really don't. I just don't know that it would have been such a devastating blow after all the progress I made than to just wind up homeless because of electric bill. Man, I don't know. I really don't know what I would have done, and I don't even want to think about it. I just want to just say that I am grateful and just remember those 4 points, which I don't remember. Anyway. So back to some less happier topics. So yesterday was the year anniversary of me finding out about Christopher's suicide. No, 16th. I don't know what day it is. Yesterday. Finding out about Christopher's suicide. So he actually committed suicide on September 11th, would be the year anniversary of his death. However, I didn't actually find out until the 16th, and, it's still pretty sobering. There was a period of time in this past 2 months where, I don't know, something clashed, maybe it was a 3D, 5D mix, and, I'm convinced that Christopher is still, I'm not gonna say alive, but he is very much present. How's that? I think that's a good way to put it. There were some things going on that are unexplainable, absolutely unexplainable, that went down during this 2 month period of time, and Christopher was present. I'm just gonna leave it at that. I still feel like he's very much in my life, and he's very, he'll always be part of me, you know, and, like, I feel like he was guiding me through this, too, and just, like, you know, as well, helping me to, like, keep my calm. And when I didn't think I could do, I just didn't think I could do it anymore. And I just wanted to stop. And, you know, there would be that gentle nudge or something. And, to just keep me going. And, that's Christopher's spirit. Unless he really is alive, which, you know, I'm not going to give away the plot of the movie because, you know, that is the plot of the movie, kind of. But, it's hard to believe it's been a year. It's hard to believe it's been a year since I was kidnapped. It's hard to believe it's been a year since I was raped. It's hard to believe it's been a year since Christopher died. It's hard to believe it's been a year. It's hard to believe it's been a year. It's hard to believe it's been over a year since COVID came and changed everything. It's just been a, it's hard to believe, like 365 days, right? And it's like the transformation of a life in 365 days. And I have been transformed, you know, and I am grateful I did go to therapy, and I am grateful that I took the time to heal from the grief, even though, I mean, I'm not in grief like that anymore. I absolutely still miss Christopher, and I miss Doc Doc too, you know, and I miss Nala, not that she's dead, but she's kind of dead, like I haven't seen her, but that period of time, these past 2 months when things were just so stressful, and Christopher was here. I mean, I'm not, like, he made himself known to me, and I know that that was part of what got me through this, because, just the belief that even his spirit could just still be around, just enough of his essence to just not forget him, right? Like, I could ever forget him, but, yeah, I don't know. And then if I go back into the what ifs, like, you know, if he was still here, if he hadn't died, what if, right? I don't know. What if he could be in prison? He was looking at some, he had a DUI, he had issues, there was stuff going on. He could have, what if, right? What if? I don't know. What if he hadn't died? Would, right? So, those are the things that will keep me up at night, and that's why I try not to think about it. Christopher, in the 5D, is very present to me. He comes to me in dreams. He's here. His essence will never leave me. And maybe that was part of what made me fight so hard to save this, even though... And it's not like so much the place, but the it's hard to explain, like the aura around the house, the love around the house with the animals and me, and the atmosphere. That's a atmosphere. Check them out. They're a great band. Christopher introduced me to them. So let's just go with that. The atmosphere around the house. You know, he will. And maybe that's part of why I couldn't let it go, because it's not time yet. But, am I married to living in this house forever? Hell no. But do I appreciate the fact that I get to leave on my own accord? Absolutely. Totally. Okay, so I just wanted to do that. I didn't realize it's been so long since I talked to y'all, and I really do apologize for that. That's, I just got caught up, you know, and like when you're in the middle of court and stuff, like time, I just lost time. I totally lost time. And, I'm just really glad I'm okay. I talked to my therapist today, and, I haven't talked to her in weeks. And, like, she didn't know anything about what was going on. So we got me scheduled for October. You know, I gotta go to therapy anyway because of the disability. So whatever, but I have learned though through this process that I needed a lawyer. Okay, I mean, I still would have got away with it because of the paperwork, but then I would just be back in this. But as far as like really, really needing people, like, you know, those situations where you're like, I don't know how I got through it, and then you got through it with no help from anybody whatsoever. That's my whole life. That's my whole life. So when I ask people for help, like, I don't really need to ask anybody for help anymore, because if I could get through this and I asked people for help and I got denied left and right, so I did ask for help and I still made it through. So, when I say I don't need people, I really don't need people. I like to have people around me, certain people around me, because I accentuate my life and they make it better, but, I don't need people. I do pretty good on my own. I know how to entertain myself. I know what to do. I think I'm pretty funny. I don't get bored with myself. Like, I get bored with other people. I don't get bored with myself, you know, but I definitely learned that, trusting people is something that I probably will not be doing again ever. I mean, not so easily. I'm not going to say ever, because I would really like to think that there's somebody out there that I could trust again, and that's not going to backstab me, and that's not going to throw me under the bus, and that's not going to lie to me. But am I betting my life on it? I'm not. I'm pretty set. I'm good. I can live my life on my own. I don't need any other people in it. I can fight my own battles. I've turned into a really strong bitch, and I'm not sure that I actually really enjoy that side of it, that abrasive side that I've had to grow, that I've, you know, 10 years, damn, September is a weird, 10 years in Arizona, tomorrow, the 18th, oh my god, right, holy shit, 10 years in Arizona tomorrow, and I've changed, and not all for the best, but, I still have a heart. It's just way underneath the armor. But I still have a heart. And I do still care about, like, kids and animals and, like, helping people that need help, that legitimately need help. But as far as, like, what I saw go down around this period of time with nobody helping me, everybody lying about me, and everybody just couldn't wait to throw me under the bus and see me get evicted out of here. I have no love for my neighbors. None. And that might, you know, that might just totally counteract what I just said, but I don't think it does. Anyway, that's the scoop. I will do another catch up. I'm trying to think if there's anything coming up right now that I need to, I'll tell you all about. And I don't really think there is anything pending or pressing. Like I said, there's a bunch of stuff that I've been, like the Listen app will be up soon. Actually, Listen app is up. The Wisdom app will be up soon, which I'll be a mentor on. I'll let you all know more about that when it happens. Again, Rock Bottom Storytellers already happened, but go catch it on YouTube. Rock Bottom Storytellers number 3. I was the third speaker. Hear my story. Splintered Cell Run about how... I became homeless out of this park a couple years ago, and how I came back. Let's see, Fiddly Dicking. I'll let you guys know when those shows go live. They should be going live soon. And I really, honestly, I feel like there was something huge I wanted to tell you all, and now my head I just totally forgot. I just totally forgot. Anyway, Mongolia, Nepal. And Malta, you guys rock so hard. I've been on the charts for months in Mongolia now. I love you guys. Malta and Nepal, I just fell off Malta, but, you know, I hadn't done a show in forever. But either way, you guys just rock. Thank you so much for supporting me and for supporting the show and for supporting mental health and all that good stuff. So... yeah, like I said, I knew there was something big I wanted to tell you all, and it just totally slipped my head. And now that I've done this show, I am, like, all of a sudden, I'm just, like, so tired. It's, like, crazy. So, it's, like, not even 6. It's 6:15 right now on a Friday night. So, right? And I'm just, like, all of a sudden exhausted. I guess that's called stress, right? And I guess that's called masking maybe my bipolar a little bit, where I know the crash is going to come. Might as well be this weekend, right? But I think I did well, guys. I think I held it together. I didn't lose it. I didn't wind up impatient. I didn't wind up in jail. I didn't wind up in any of that. I just kind of handled my shit, kept quiet, and got through it. Thank God. Anyway, this is Dawn Shrin. This is my podcast, Ends with Bipolar. And hey, let's all stay alive, okay? Later.